Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. We share inspiring stories, insights, techniques from those on the path of overcoming fears, limiting beliefs to create the life of their dreams. My guest today is a good friend of mine, more of a brother. His name is Rod Blanchard, founder of 45 Alive. Welcome, Roddy.
Well, thanks, buddy. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem, buddy. So Rod and I have been talking about doing this for quite a while, but I thought I'd just give you a little history of our relationship. We go way, way, way back, somewhere around 20 something years. When I first met Rod, we were at an after hours in downtown Toronto. I think the place was called Turbo. And there we were with our shirts off fighting over the same girl. Her name was Misty. So that's an interesting story. I think I might have won the battle that night, but Rod won the big battle with Misty, and I think they dated for a while. So. But anyway, Rod and I have quite a history of having fun and partying, and this went on for quite some time. You know, it wasn't until recent years, now that we have children and we're a little more established in our lives, that we're trying to change some of those old habits. And I wanted to talk about today Rod's 45-day challenge that he's currently doing for himself. So. We both, as I said, party quite a bit, and we both have used a lot of drugs and alcohol over the years, I would say. But alcohol in particular is something that's sort of been part of the daily routine for some time. So, Roddy, maybe you want to tell me a little bit about why you started to do this challenge. And just to let you know as well, Rod, this is the midway point of the challenge. We're going to do a two-part podcast. So today's day 22, with no alcohol for Rod.
Yeah, and once again, you know, great segue into where I'm at right now and how I'm feeling. I would love to have a great story on had this epiphany, or I woke up and said, this is the day. But it wasn't like that. I was, you know, kind of going through my day-to-day routine, I would call it, with not much purpose. And it was after a weekend of having some fun with buddies out in Montreal. And once again, nothing to do with Montreal whatsoever. It was really kind of getting back. And I think it was a perfect storm because it was the end of summer. And, you know, summer, you kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit. And you realize, you know, once September hits and, you know, everybody comes out of their holes, it's time to get back to work. But, you know, I've been, you know, kind of numb to the world for, I feel like it's been a good 7 or 8 months. And when I say that, I mean, just waking up and kind of going through your day-to-day transactional stuff, so to speak, and waiting for that night to hit where once the kids go to bed, you know, I can kind of, you know, drown those demons or kind of self-pity with some wine. So I decided, you know what, this is time for me to, you know, take a real personal challenge. And I think I've tried to do this before in the past where I'm like, you know, hey, I'm going to stop drinking for a week or 30 days or whatever it may be. But I was saying that to myself. I was saying that in the mirror. Like, I mean, where I've got accustomed to letting myself down. And this was the first time that, you know, I put that challenge out to a bunch of friends. This is what I'm doing. And I think this was to help me feel accountable. And I can tell you, my friend, that it's been, you know, some ups and downs throughout this 22 days, but, you know, I realized that, you know, setting that personal goal of being sober and not, you know, drinking every night. And once again, I always thought to myself, looking at the liquor cabinet, that, hey, there's hard liquor there. I'm not an alcoholic. Like, that's been sitting there for a year. But the wine cellar, there's nothing in there, because that's what I like. I like to drink wine. And so I would wash a bottle of, you know, of wine down with dinner, and then, you know, usually followed by a second bottle, which has been going on for a good year or two. So I think with this challenge, it didn't only help me kind of get over the, hey, I need to have a glass of wine at night or a bottle, but it's opened up so many more doors. It's really turned my mind on, that I think is that door has been closed for so long. And I think the beauty of it has been, you know, my morning routine. And it wasn't anything about a morning routine when this started. And then I just, once I got past 3, 4, 5 days of not drinking, I'm like, I was thirsty for more, and I said, hey, I'm going to start waking up in the morning to start running or walking or doing whatever. But that became, once I got up at 5 a.m., I had so many thoughts, and I thought, you know what, why not start writing these things down? So I started to write, and every single day, I was more and more excited to get out of bed, not to get and start up my day, but really to start writing. I felt like it was liberating. I was able to, you know, kind of take a peek under the tent and say, you know what, hey, this needs to be dealt with. And once again, I thought, am I going to do this on a personal, or am I going to share this with a selected group? Which I decided to share this. And I still realize that, you know, I've created my own sandbox. I mean, there's no judgment in this sandbox. And if I decide to take it to the next level, I have to understand that there's going to be some judgment down the road. But to that point of starting this journey and starting to write, and getting up and starting to meditate, and this is something that you've done and I've admired for many, many years, and I never knew where to start. And I think if you remember, just like a couple of weeks ago at the gym, I just said, hey, you know what, I took 2 minutes to really start, you know, kind of trying to meditate or just breathing. And I'm like, you know, I was breathing, I'm not really sure if I was doing it right. And you had said to me, Rod, I mean, people think that there's something that's going to happen, just this glorified. And that's it's the complete opposite, right? And I'll let you kind of go on into that.
Well, meditation, it's massively important for me now. I've been talking a big game about meditation for a long time. I've been studying under a tremendous mentor, Dr. Stefan Travaux, who has the Mindfulness Center in Oakville. But it wasn't until the last couple of years that when I started doing it every single morning that really big changes happened. And, you know, it's my new sort of awareness into what's actually happening in me. So, you know, going back to drinking, for the first time in my life, last year when I competed for the first time, I quit drinking for maybe 2 to 3 months over that period.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
And it was amazing to the stories we tell ourselves and the excuses we create that justify things. Yeah. And all these little stories we tell ourselves all the time, and not just about drinking, but anything in particular that ends up not being something that keeps us stuck inside a comfort zone or a hazy thing where we don't really have the awareness of what's going on in our bodies and our minds. And then you also mentioned that morning routine. So, you know, it's hugely important, I believe, now that I'm a 5 a.m. guy now as well.
Right.
To get up and, you know, get that sweaty cardio in and then hit your meditation right there. And what you see within yourself is unbelievable sometimes to think, wow, that's what's actually going on. Right. That's why I was drinking, to sort of keep that little thing in the shelf there.
Right.
When you shine light on some of this stuff, it's ugly sometimes, you know, and it really makes you sit back and say, whoa, man, I've been fucking acting this certain way all these years, and that's not really who I am.
Right.
And then if you peel the onion a little further, it's like, well, wait a minute, that kind of goes back to something in my life in the past, you know, something that some pain I may be masking. And so the process of meditation, you know, obviously self-discovery, but you know, just being present in every single moment and not beating yourself up and understanding the difference between that fucking voice chirping in your head and who you are.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny. The one other thing that I've realized with, you know, being mindful and even going back to, you know, having a drink and needing a drink or thinking I needed a drink was, you know, I thought even when it came to friends, I felt like I needed to get onto that perfect groove where it's like, you know, there has to be, I got to have a couple of glasses of wine, even before going for dinner. Like, you know, I would call it the, you know, the pre-drinks. But I'm just setting myself up where I need that perfect groove to start communicating and having this deep conversations and just enjoy being around people. And I've realized over the last 22 days that, like my internal energy is way more powerful than, you know, some $10 bottle of wine. Right, absolutely. and that's where, you know, now it's like I've, you know, and I wrote a post about it, but I've played two rounds of sober golf and golf. I usually, you know, I start to find my groove in the back nine, where it's a little bit of a mind fuck because I get to the back nine and I think, oh, man, we're almost halfway done. And I'm just starting to get into my groove here. Where now without, you know, relying on the drink to start, I'm present from right. The hole number one. And that internal energy comes out and there's still that friendly banter that it's all there.
Right.
You know, that whole, you know, kind of, I need to drink is completely behind me now. And I'm starting to, you know, and we can talk about this later, but it's one of those things that, you know, I look forward to, you know, getting together with my friends. I'm look forward to this new layer that we can kind of layer on so much friendship and love that we have. That, you know what, like, I think there's been many, many years where, you know, I was scared to kind of just sit down and have a conversation sober because you right. kind of forgot yeah. how to do that.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, I've kind of outed myself on a number of things throughout my posts. I feel like I'm now, I don't have to hide behind anything.
Right.
You know, I can say, you know what, hey, fuck, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like,
right.
instead of sounding, you know, I'm so scared to ask that, you know, dumb question or, you know, I don't understand because you know, I'm not as intelligent. Bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, why not just say, yeah, you know, I fucking have no idea. I thought that was a right. Netflix right. film you were talking about. You know, so I think that now I'm really enjoying, you know, these deeper conversations and not relying on, you know, a few bottles of wine to kind of get to that point.
Yeah, like deeper, more authentic, right. meaningful conversations without that social anxiety or just waiting to start when the alcohol kicks in.
Right.
And then, you know, and that's just a fear sort of within ourselves that, you know, we don't want to act stupid or there's social anxiety or something that's sort of limiting us.
Right, right.
The other thing I admire about what you're doing, brother, is the fact that, you know, you've now just taken it on to yourself to write something every day. That process of creativity is something that a lot of people don't actually flex that muscle. They don't do anything necessarily creative. You know, it's kind of a left brain world in a way. You know, when you're in school, it's like, you know, fuck the arts. Make sure you're a doctor, lawyer, an engineer.
Right.
But it turns out like creativity is so important for humanity. And when you're creating that writing skill and you're expressing yourself, it's amazing how you learn more about yourself.
Right, right.
And you're a little gentler with yourself. Dudes have a real tendency of beating themselves up in their minds. And it's, you know, practicing self-love for a man is not right. something that you hear about very often.
Right, right.
And I mean, I think, you know, personally, I've come a long way. I mean, I didn't grow up with a really affectionate father. Like, I mean, he loved me, but it wasn't like he was that huggy or anything. And
right.
in high school, dudes didn't hug each other. Not in my school. They punched each other in the shoulder. You know, that was affection. But, you know, as time goes on, I basically hug and kiss all my buddies right. now. But, I mean, that comes from within, too. You have to love yourself. So the writing process is amazing, and over time it's really interesting through that creative process how things start to come up, and I'm sure you've surprised yourself.
Yeah, you know, and I think with this writing, any time I've looked at, you know, what it means to be even a Pisces, I always kind of quickly was to look at, you know, the sensitivity, like things like that, I kind of glossed over that the creativity of a Pisces. Or could be a great writer. And like, I've never thought of myself as anyone that would write. I think of my childhood where, you know, my grade six teacher, they asked everyone, this is like an assignment, like, you know, hey guys, everyone in the class, just write down what you think, you know, what are your strongest attributes? And I had a list And I got it back and she had marked it, but one of the attributes that I thought was me, she crossed it out and she said, I think it's your eyelashes. And then in grade 8, when I was going into high school, my vice principal said, like, you know, Rod, there's going to be many girls, spread yourself around.
Right.
So I always thought, like, you know, okay, you know, everyone's talking about if it's looks, it's this outer ego shell.
Right, right.
So I gravitated towards that. Sure. Hey, shit, that's me.
Yeah.
Fuck the writing. You know, I'm going to do what, you know, so I would walk into class super, super confident for, you know, needing that attention. But when it came to writing, fuck that, right. You know, or somebody said, hey, Space Cowboy, it's time to, you know, read out loud. And then I would just shiver. Like, right. I would just go into my little turtle shell,
yeah,
and say, please, please don't look at me. So this whole, you know, getting up and writing and feeling, you know, that, you know, there's some strength there. And I think, you know, even when it comes to anything that we do in life, you know, things that you enjoy, like I love playing football and sports. And if I work at it, the better I get. And I never thought about it like that when it comes to writing. I was, you know, but I feel now that I can flex that muscle too. And I feel like it's not only therapeutic, but I'm feeling that there's some substance there. So it's, right. Yeah, I'm getting excited.
Well, yeah. Well, you hit something that's interesting too, is, I mean, you talked about your teachers and how they label you.
Right.
And, you know, in your case, you're a pretty boy, so they went after that. But I mean, every other case, they'll label you as something. And
right.
We're at that age where it's so impressionable that we think that's what we need to be to win. That's what we need to win. And we have to win. And it creates that sort of, image of perfection that's not really even what you are inside.
Right.
And so we oftentimes people spend their whole lives doing or becoming something that they're not actually meant to be. And it's, you're always striving. You're
right.
Never there.
Right.
When everything's inside that you really need, and you're always looking a little on the outside. And then if you're somebody who spent your whole life doing that, let's say somebody who actually made a career out of being a model or beautiful or something, and then suddenly they start to age and, you know, the wrinkles come, it's like then their whole world falls apart.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's fucking dangerous how our childhood influences
right.
shape who we are. And if we don't actually explore that and look in that and sit with it, then we don't really have an opportunity to say, hey, man, that's not really who I am.
Right.
And then start to get on that path of discovering who you are.
And here's the other thing. I mean, you know, because we've been sitting for I guess 8 to 12 months talking about, you know, midlife rewire and 45 alive and you've been miles ahead on putting some real meat on the bones and, like, you know, putting a ton of content in that library, and that whole 45 alive has been kind of sitting there. You know, I was able to come up with a really nice logo and, like, you know, hey, I want to do some apparel, so I got some hats and some really cool stuff that I felt like this is what it's going to be all about. But I was so fearful and I didn't make that next step because I thought it was 45 alive is about, you know, the outer shell. I need to fucking look like Adonis before I start flashing Instagram up and all this. And that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And I've realized that it's not about the external ego shell. It's really about internally, like, you know, looking back and how do I better myself? You know, this is the second part of my life. Like, you mean, how do I reinvent myself?
Right.
And once again, that started with, like, you know, just that small 45-day personal challenge of, hey, I want to be sober, not knowing that it was going to open up so many more doors.
Right.
Taking
action, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, and I you know, I've sat on ideas and concepts for long periods of time myself. And then until you actually take the action, you remember I talked about the headlight scenario where you're on the path at least now. You can only see through the fog, you know, if in nighttime with your headlights in the car, 30 feet in front of you,
right.
But you're moving forward and it starts to open up. And you right. don't know exactly where you're going, but you're actually moving on that path now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's important to take some kind of action and do it every single fucking day, right. Every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few times now, I mean, I will miss my morning routine because
right.
I feel like I don't actually have my day under control. I don't feel like my mind's not in the right place. My body's not in the right place. And, you know, make journaling notes, of course, gratitude every single day. I've been doing that for much longer than I've been actually doing the morning routine. But then you've got your day right there and you're excited. You jump out of bed and you get after it. You know,
right.
it's amazing. So one thing I wanted to talk about quickly, I mean, you know, you can talk about it however you feel comfortable. But I didn't know some things about you and I didn't know about some of your past, especially with your father and your stepfather. You know, and there's got to be a lot of pain there for you that, and this may be all part and parcel of everything we're talking about, but is that something that you've actually thought about, or is it just more recently that you've had a really clear mindset that you're
digging into? You know what, when I really, you know, completely being transparent here, I think when I was younger, you know, it was almost like a crutch for me, where it's like, I didn't have a dad. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm not that super ambitious and I don't know where I'm going and I'm kind of lost and, you know, but I don't have a dad, like, you know, he committed suicide and, you know, you would get that, oh shit, I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, but you know, like, no, fuck yeah, I was 3 years old. I didn't know him. So what the fuck? But the older, now being a dad, you know, and thinking about starting this journey of being sober, it might be like where, I don't want to follow his steps. Like, I want to be a great dad. So
well, you are a great dad.
So maybe that's what I'm dealing with now, but yeah.
Well, there's anger there too, right? There's anger, there's all kinds of emotions and they've been trapped for a long time, but
right.
You know, what I can say for sure though is, and I've heard this from somebody, like I felt this experience myself. It's that when you actually sit with it and you know, you're not going to process it in a day or a month or a week.
Right.
It takes time, but it does come out. It does release it in the form of tears quite often. And, you know,
well, even listening to,
I've read your tears of joy, but it's tears of release. It's tears of just sort of letting it be, letting things go, maybe even forgiving.
Know? And that's the thing where it's like, you know, you kind of start to really kind of put pen to paper and start to, you know, write your feelings down. And I really got lost on starting to try to do that. I kind of just started to write and then I couldn't write for the first time in the last 22 days. I'm like, I kind of just left it alone. I didn't want to, you know, have that kind of, you know, stop any momentum that I have right now. And once again, I mean, I believe, you know, as I talked about in my first post, I understand there's going to be a lot of ups and downs and you know, I'm riding the highs and some of the lows I'm maybe parking to the side for now. And, you know, and also too, it's something I've never done was seek out, you know, some counseling when it comes to, you know, talking to somebody about it. And I've reached out to a therapist to say, hey, you know what, like, you know, where am I with this? Is this really something? And really, it's funny that the email that I sent them was, listen, there's no rush here. There's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
You don't need to go ahead first. Yeah. Soon, right.
Right. So, yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things, as I said, where, you know, there's been so many things that have opened up, with this 45-day challenge, which has been great. And I think that is something that needs to be dealt with.
Right.
And maybe it's been suppressed for so long and so compact, where you don't want to open that box. But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it opens itself, right? So it's one of those things that, and I, you know, this may have nothing to do with a story you just told me from the weekend, but you know, you're having a nice weekend, everything's fine. And then there's a trigger, maybe an argument with your spouse, maybe something. And then that voice in your head starts to come back and say, hey, here I am.
Right.
And you start fucking ruminating about something and it's really hard to break out of that. So maybe you could just talk a little bit about how, because you did. Yeah.
It was like completely, it was a great weekend where, you know, I've faced this whole being sober and doing things, you know, without the drink. Not like me hiding, you know, in the basement, not seeing anyone.
Right.
You know, I have been out for lunches and dinners and the weekend was just that. You know, I went for dinner on Saturday night. We had people over on Sunday for a little swim, which usually, you know, was accompanied by some wine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was kind of like, you know, always thought of anything fun had to have wine associated with it. Right, exactly. Or a couple of IPAs. You know, but there was one point that an issue that I wasn't ready to talk about. And when it came up, my instinct of getting my back up and thinking that, you know, a great offense has a good defense. That's what happened. And Right. And that whole anger and stuff within me that, you know, I was, you know, over the last, you know, couple of weeks, I've been able to kind of keep at bay. It came back. And that distant, you know, demon that has been quiet for a bit, kind of jumped, just as you said, jumped on, and he brought a few friends. Hey, fucking anxiety, stress, everything kind of just came, you know, crashing in. And then it's like, fuck. This, what the fuck's this journey for? Like, I mean, I'm fucking no further along. Like, you know, I'm a few steps back. You know, and you know, my wife is super strong, as you know, and she's like, Rod, you're not a few steps back. You're a few steps forward. You know, you, it's healthy to get this stuff, to talk about, to get it out of you. And it's exactly true. And it's, she said what I needed to hear. She knows I love being in a car driving with the wind and like the music cranked. And she's like, let's just go for a drive.
Right.
Listen to some music. Let the air come in. Let nature, you know, kind of set you, get you back on. And I think I said this to you or I wrote in a post, but I saw this car flying by me and it was a bumper sticker. I've never seen a bumper sticker that said, still rise.
Right.
Where really my personal mantra in the morning is rise with the sun, rise to the challenge.
Right.
Just rise.
Yeah.
So when I see a still rise, man, I'm like, fuck, I'm on the path.
Yeah.
And it was kind of that gravitational pull again, saying, Rod, you know what? Continue where you're going, man. Like, you know, it's not going to be easy.
No.
And when those things come up, don't think you're a few steps back.
Right.
You know, realize that you're mindful enough that you're going to deal with it without the drink.
Right.
And that's exactly what I did.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, the thing is, it doesn't matter how far along you're in the path, how enlightened you claim to be. The most enlightened people still have days where they can't, their emotions will have the best of them. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, that old saying, this too shall pass, always remembering that it's just coming and it's going to go. Comes and goes, and it'll just come and go less frequently, you know, over time. But that's amazing how you stepped out of that, brother. So maybe we'll end it there for today. Anyway, dude, I'm really fucking proud of what you've done. I enjoy reading your posts every single morning, so absolutely keep them coming. So, as I said, 45 Alive Challenge, we're on day 22, which is the halfway point, so we'll check back in at the end. And we'll catch up then.
All right. Thanks for having me, buddy. All right, brother. Just rise.
Yeah. All right.